Chris Canty won a Super Bowl with the New York Giants, played 11 years in the NFL with the Dallas Cowboys, the Giants, and the Baltimore Ravens. Now co-host on Unsportsmanlike, weekday mornings 5 to 9 Central on ESPN Radio with Evan Cohen and Michelle Smallman. Chris Canty, presented by GNC, joins us now from Radio Row in New Orleans. All right, joining me now, Super Bowl champ, the resident Super Bowl champ on ESPN Radio's Unsportsmanlike, weekdays from 5 to 9 Central on ESPN Radio. The great Chris Canty with me now. Chris, appreciate the time from Radio Row in New Orleans, presented by our friends at GNC. So what are we getting into this week, Chris? Is it jambalaya? What are we getting into food-wise down in New Orleans?
Oh, we got a little bit of everything. We got the char-grilled oysters, the po' boys, jambalaya, crawfish etouffee, you name it, I'm going to have a little bit of it. I don't get down to the Gulf South as often as I would like, but while I'm here for Super Bowl week, I'm going to take full advantage.
I see you've got your beads on, Canty. Do I need to ask how you got them?
No, I didn't get them the traditional way, but when in Rome, do as, and the Mardi Gras beads this time of year is just a part of the culture, so I'm going to lean all the way in.
Is this your first Radio Row as a media member? Obviously, you had to go through it as a player, and we'll get to that in a little bit later. But is this the first time you've experienced it as a radio host?
No. So I've actually done a couple of Super Bowls. This is the first time that I've come down as a part of a show. This is our first big road trip for Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN 2, ESPNU, and, of course, SiriusXM Radio. But listen, it is awesome to be a part of Super Bowl week. It's like a big reunion, a big get together from past and present players. And so when you get down here during Super Bowl week, you have a chance to run into so many faces that you haven't seen for years. And it's just this big party. It reminds you of how special it is to be a part of the NFL brotherhood. And so I love being a part of this week as a player, but also as a media member and being a part of the ESPN family here on Media Row.
Well, dude, as I was going through some of the teams you played for and some of the coaching staffs that you were associated with, it's crazy to see the amount of head coaches that you've worked with, right? Like on the offensive side of the football, you have names like Freddie Kitchens, etc. But on the defensive side of the football specifically, Chris, at some point in your career, you worked with guys like Todd Bowles, who's now the head coach of Tampa Bay, Mike Zimmer, who's the recently at least rumored to be a retired defensive coordinator, obviously former Vikings head coach, and the guy that is leading the charge for the Chiefs defense, Spags, was their secondary coach during your time in Baltimore. What makes working with guys like that so special? What makes guys like that special? Because you've worked with tons of them, whether indirectly or directly, during your time in the league.
Well, here's the thing. If you want to elevate your game and you want to be the best, you have to work with the best. And I was intentional when it came to choosing the places that I wanted to play to not only be around great players, but to be around great coaches. And so having the privilege of being drafted to the Dallas Cowboys was awesome. But then when I became choosing the New York Giants and the Tom Coughlin, knowing what that coaching staff was, choosing the Baltimore Ravens with John Harbaugh, knowing what that coaching staff was, those were things that I was intentional about, because when you're around good coaches, they find a way to bring out the best in you. And as Tom Coughlin always put it, coaching is making men do what they don't want to do so they can become what they want to become. And I can say that about every single one of the coaches that I had the privilege of playing for on the defensive side of the ball.
Spags is such an interesting case. Obviously, the Kansas City Chiefs defensive coordinator looking for their third Super Bowl win in a row. I know he coached the secondary. No offense, Chris. I know you were more in the trenches than in the defensive backfield, but obviously you got to work with him at least a little bit. What makes him?
Oh, absolutely. And to have the chance to talk football philosophy. That's the great part of being around so many great coaches. You have conversations in the cafeteria. You have conversations on the football field. You have conversations on the road trips and just have a chance to talk ball. And one of the things that I really appreciate about Spags is that not only does he believe in putting his players in the best situations on a down-to-down basis, but he also understands the chess match and being able to set up calls for the most opportune time to have maximum impact. I go back to the AFC Championship game, that 4th and 5. He brings that corner blitz. It completely throws off the play. And if you listen to the offensive lineman for the Buffalo Bills, they talked about all game long, Spags showing that look but not bringing that blitz. They slid their protection on that play away from the corner that Spags sent on the blitz because they didn't think he was coming. And that just shows you Spags is on another level when it comes to sequencing and play calling. We usually think about setting up plays from an offensive perspective. Maybe a coordinator wants to bring out this trick play, this flea flicker, this reverse, this throwback, you know, to maximize the impact that it can have and swing the momentum of the game. But Spags does that on the defensive end, right? And rarely do you see defensive coordinators being so proactive in that way. And I think that's why Spags is the most decorated defensive coordinator that we've ever seen in the National Football League.
How do you slow down Saquon Barkley, Chris Canty? Is that possible? Is it possible to slow down a guy that's done what he's done this year? Because Spags in that Chiefs defense has been phenomenal. But how in the world do you slow down a guy like Saquon Barkley who's gone absolutely bananas this season?
I will say it to you like my former defensive line coach and now Tampa defensive coordinator Casey Rogers would say. Everybody on defense is at the point of attack. All 11 guys are at the point of attack when it comes to the Eagles' run game and handing it to number 26. And you got to go in the game with that mentality. Just because you might be on the backside of the play, the backside formation, like you might be the only guy that can make the tackle when Saquon Barkley decides to make his cuts. Like if you're a backside defensive lineman, you're a backside linebacker, you're a backside corner, you think the play is away from you, you're not involved in the action. No, you're involved. And you got to limit the airspace that Saquon Barkley has. One of the most impressive parts about this Eagles ground game is that even though Saquon Barkley has rushed for over 2,000 yards, 1,500 of those yards have come before first contact. This guy is averaging 4 yards a carry before contact. It's absolutely ridiculous. So you have to understand that you might be the last line of defense no matter where you line up on a defensive formation. That has to be the attitude. That's how you limit the productivity of Saquon Barkley. Now, he's such a great player. I don't know that you can completely shut him out, but the goal is to limit his impact on his team's success.
Love hearing Chris Canty of Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio talk a little ball heading up to Super Bowl 59 down there in New Orleans. Want to bring it back to the Packers quick, though, Canty, because a couple of storylines I'm curious on your perspective on as a former player. Josh Jacobs, the running back of the Packers, was down where you are right now making the rounds yesterday, said something to the effect of, we need a real wide receiver, a wide receiver one in the room for the Green Bay Packers. And some of the receivers in the room right now not taking too kindly to that accidental, it seems, criticism from Josh Jacobs. If one of your former teammates, let's just throw a random one. How about your boy Spears, who you played with teammate now at ESPN? What if he was to say, yeah, we need a real D tackle? How would you respond to that?
Well, I wouldn't take too kindly to it, but here's the thing. Knowing what I know about Josh Jacobs and his story, if he's saying something like that publicly, I'm pretty sure he's told those guys privately. So any kind of criticism or any slight that he might have had in through his comments yesterday on Media Row, I'm pretty sure that he's expressed that to his teammates in terms of being able to want more from them at that position. And to a man, I'm sure that Josh Jacobs knows that there is more that he can do in order for that offense, in order for his team to be successful. So I think that, you know, it's always a learning curve when it comes to young teams trying to figure out how to deal with success. And we got to acknowledge that the Green Bay Packers 2 years ago, when they won that playoff game in Dallas, they were the youngest team to win a playoff game in 50 years in the NFL. So there is a curve to learning how to deal with success in this league. And I think 2024 was a little bit of that experience for the Green Bay Packers.
Totally agree on that. As you evaluate the first 2 years of Jordan Love, where do you think he ranks in the league? And B, do you think this is a guy that can lead this team to a Super Bowl at some point?
Well, he's a phenomenal talent. When it comes to physical gifts, there aren't too many quarterbacks that are going to outshine him in the NFL. It's just a matter of him being more consistent. And Jay Love has put together good stretches of the first two regular seasons where he's been the full-time starter, but he hasn't put together a complete season. And that's what we're waiting for, right? We know that he's got the head coach in Matt LaFleur. We know that he's with a stable organization that's always going to keep good players around him. It's just a matter of him being more consistent in terms of his approach and his overall development. So, I mean, this is going to be a pivotal year for him. They rewarded him. They paid him like a franchise quarterback. Now it's time for him to deliver with being more consistent. Now, the injuries early on derailed him somewhat, but that's not really an excuse. Nobody wants to hear about the injuries as to why the team can't be successful. It's going to be about making sure that he's more consistent in his approach. We all know he's got the talent to be one of the best quarterbacks in this league. It's just a matter of him being consistent week to week, game to game.
I want to play a quick game. We'll rapid fire these. Canny connections. You've played with a million people, Chris, and a lot of them have Wisconsin ties. You just want to touch on two in specific. Number one, your rookie year and your second year in Dallas, there was this veteran guard by the name of Marco Rivera. How were those matchups in the early time in Chris Canny's career?
Well, the key about Marco Rivera, if you were going to try to beat him, you couldn't let him get his hands on you because he had the strongest damn hands. I mean, you're talking about grown man strength. That was Marco Rivera. Now, you could try to out-athlete him, get him in space, but if he could ever get his hands on you, you were going to have some problems. But he was a great teammate, a great offensive lineman for many, many years in the National Football League. Really, really consider it an honor to be able to call that guy a former teammate of mine.
And in New York, you played with a guy by the name as a tight end of Travis Beckham. I played in a charity basketball game with him last year. That dude can still move, Chris. Any Travis Beckham stories, the former Wisconsin Badger?
Oh, yeah. T. Beckham was awesome, especially in 2011 on our Super Bowl run. And, of course, he gets hurt the big game. But I wish I could have seen the end of that movie in terms of a fully healthy Travis Beckham and what his NFL career would have been like. But also, I think he's one of those tight end types that was ahead of his time. A guy that could be a receiver, receiver-like traits in a tight end's body, a tight end. If he came along a half a decade later, I think that Travis Beckham would have been a bigger deal in terms of productivity and impact in the National Football League. But he had a huge impact on my career. Obviously, he was a key part of our championship team in 2011. And he was a consummate professional and a great teammate. Overall, just a great guy.
Awesome stuff. Canny, appreciate the time. Always love hearing you talk ball. Brought to you by GNC down at Radio Row. Tell us about your friends over at GNC.
Well, GNC has been perfecting nutrition for 90 years. And listen, they got it down to a science. It's not just a department. It's a whole freaking store. I mean, they're going to help you sculpt that revenge body. They're going to make sure that you reach all of your fitness goals. I believe that health is wealth, and the best place to go to enhance your quality of life in that regard is GNC. Go to GNC.com or visit your local GNC store. I know I will. That's how I make sure I stay in peak condition.
He's a Super Bowl champ. He's the co-host of Unsportsmanlike Mornings on ESPN Radio. Canny, appreciate the time as always, my man. We'll see you at the draft up in Green Bay in a couple months.
All right, looking forward to it.
That the great Chris Canty on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, weekday mornings from 5 to 9 Central, 6 to 10 Eastern, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your local ESPN station, including ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee. Good stuff there from Chris Canty. Thanks to our friends at GNC and the team at Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.